I'll spell it for you. D-U-M-M-Y.
It's the dummy.
Come on, sing it.
It's the dummy of the day. It's the dummy.
Oh, yeah.
It's the dummy of the day on the Joe and Alex Show.
These stories always amaze me. A man tried to hide a bag of heroin between his butt cheeks during a traffic stop. This happened in Florida. Like, is that where he already had the heroin? Like, is he driving around? He's like, got to get to point A to point B. Like, okay, just in case I get pulled over, heroin, butt cheeks, go.
Safekeeping.
It's usually where you put crack.
It is. Well, it's definitely whack. Is heroin a close thing? I don't know where else you would put it. But, yeah, the man refused to unclench his butt cheeks after getting out of the car. The officers were forced. And this is why we have to respect our men and women of law enforcement. They were forced to pull the drugs out after the man refused to be searched.
Good grief.
Are they on the side of the road or are they back in jail? I'm hoping they're back in jail when they actually do this. Like, spread them.
Was it brown tar heroin?
It was. It was brown tar heroin right there. Yes. Yeah, they pulled it out of his, you know where. He was arrested and charged with possession of drugs and paraphernalia, which is another reason why. I'm not a prude. You want to do drugs? Do you, as long as you don't affect me. That's cool. But, like, do you ever wonder where how the drugs get there?
I don't want to know.
That's my point. Like, if maybe I was going to try heroin this week, and just because I was going to, it's like, what if it was between this dude's butt cheeks before?
It could have been.
You really got to know your drug dealer, I guess. All right, a 38-year-old guy named Jeremy, he was at a convenience store in Wisconsin just before midnight last week, and he went into their walk-in cooler. You ever been in one of those things that's like you go into a winter wonderland? It's freezing.
Yeah.
Freezing, and some of them are just giant, and the door, right behind you. Well, he went in there, and he didn't realize the cooler has a lock that automatically triggers at midnight, so he got trapped in there. So he did what anybody would do. He started drinking. It's like, well, might as well have a beer.
I would do the same thing if I was going to be locked in there all night.
Where would you prefer? You probably prefer like to be locked into a McDonald's with nuggets, right?
For sure.
Like, I'm just going to have to eat this one out and dip it in some ketchup. The guy was stuck in there and he was just, you know, drinking. His employees found him almost 6 hours later.
Ooh.
He had drank, and this surprised me. This does not seem like a lot of alcohol. He drank one 18-ounce can of Ice House beer. Ugh, gross. That's like you're in college. Like, what's the cheapest beer? Okay, we'll get some Ice House.
Well, maybe he figured he'd have to pay for it later.
Well, let me get to that good part, Alex. He had one 18-ounce can of Ice House beer and three cans of Four Loko. Now, that stuff.
Oh, that'll mess you up.
One can messed me up. I had a buzz. I was like, whoa.
Was it a college kid?
I don't know. No.
I got blackout drunk after I had one of those.
Is that back in the day before? Because it used to be like they had to change the recipe or whatever, or the way they sold it.
But it was 2 or 3 years ago. I came up here to Klipsch for the Lana Del Rey concert, and I had never had one before. I drank one, and it was on a work night. And then I had to call in because I was like, I did not realize. I thought it was just like a wine cooler. I didn't understand.
God, no.
I was blackout drunk. And I was like, there's no way I'm waking up at 4:30 in the morning for a morning show. I was like, I'm so sorry. I felt so embarrassed because of how unprofessional that was. But I was like, I mean, I can't even drive right now. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Like, I was so drunk.
That's afterwards, too. She said 3 or 4 years ago.
Yeah,
it was years
before that. Years before, like, they used to have it where, like, they could have the energy and the alcohol. And they were getting really worried about it. And kids and teenagers are drinking them all the time. Like, that was the go-to drink. When I was when I worked in Grand Rapids, like, when they were, like, really crazy, the alcohol, we had a cop come in studio and do a breathalyzer. We were promoting not drinking and driving. And I was still about the same size, like, 350, 400-pound big guy, right? So you figure I can handle some. I was legally drunk, like, 0.08 or 0.008, however it works, the legal limit, after, like, almost 1 1/4.
Yeah.
And that's me. That's
nuts.
Me.
That's how drunk. So now you know how drunk I was because I, you know, am a third of your size.
Do you even remember the concert?
No. Like, I really don't. I remember, like, the first 2 or 3 songs. I don't remember anything that happened after.
God. Did you get sick or did you just pass out?
Majorly sick.
Oh, that's terrible. Still a delicious drink, though. So this guy had 3 of those cans, but he spaced it out over 6 hours. As soon as they opened the door, he took off running. So he did not pay Alex for that 18-ounce can of beer and some Four Locos. As soon as he opened it up, he was gone. The employees called the cops, and they tracked down Jeremy and arrested him for retail theft. Here's the thing, though. He didn't really need to be trapped. The cooler had a glass door, and he could have easily just banged on it and yelled at employees for help.
What?
So this guy just wanted to chill and hang out in the freezer and drink beer all night. So that's what he ended up doing. Yeah, and he ran off without paying. They did catch him, and he's going to be charged for that.
How can he stand to be that cold?
No beer, alcohol, liquor, anything is worth that. Like, I'm in and out. Like, I always make fun of you and everybody else. Like, it's so cold. It's cold inside of a beer cooler.
I cannot believe you stayed in there that long.
Get out. And your final Dummy of the Day story today on the Joe and Alex Show. Let's go back to 1996. A 51-year-old prostitute named Karen from Florida approached a man recently in a car around 11 o'clock. This happened Wednesday night, actually. Offered him an amazing deal. Probably a deal most people wouldn't pass up. She said she'd perform some favors on him in exchange for $5 and a Beanie Baby. Like I said, are we
That's
going
one way to get all the things you need for your collection.
Like 1996 calling. The man ended up being an undercover cop, and she was arrested for prostitution. But didn't we? It amazes me with prostitutes, the things that they want, between like $5 to $10, which seems really low, by the
She's
way.
She's like, can I have a Polar Pop and a Beanie Baby?
We did one before. It's like, she wanted a four-piece nugget. You just want a four-piece nugget and $5?
Like, yeah, this is crazy.
Where were you when I was single? Those right there are your dummies of the day on the Joe and Alex Show. I saw this story, and it's been out for a while. I don't know if you guys have seen it or not. I'm actually going to put a video of all these different things up at RadioNowIndy.com. But a guy named Josh Sundquist, he goes viral pretty much every year for his one-legged costumes. Josh lost his left leg to childhood cancer when he was younger. He then went on to like make a lot out of his life. He's become a Paralympian, so he competes in those Olympic Games. He's a motivational speaker. He's also a comedian, and he loves Halloween.
Awesome.
Some past costumes that he's dressed up as include a Christmas Story lamp, which is just absolutely incredible if you see that. It's like
dead on
ringer.
Oh, yeah,
it's
just one leg.
Yeah, so, and he's just so smart. Like, how much do we struggle to come up with Halloween costumes to think of what we're going to be? And like
a lot.
And this guy just nails them every year. He also came up the other year as a foosball player. You know, like, you only need one leg for that. He made it uniform. He also has been a pink flamingo where he'd use like these little walker crutch things. And he'd actually like do almost a headstand so his foot would become the head of the flamingo.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my. The balance is incredible right there. He also, one year, he became the IHOP sign and he would hop around like as the IHOP sign.
Oh, my gosh.
I need your help on this one. I think you might know, Alex. What's the candle from Beauty and the Beast? The name of the candle.
Lumiere.
Is that what it is? Okay, he was the candle, like, you know, because he was a base right there, and he was just, it's amazing
that
how...
That is so, so cute.
One of my favorites he did a couple years ago, too, he was the DQ Blizzard.
Okay, yep.
Like, you know how they flip it upside down for whatever reason to show, like, it's, I guess, Blizzard, so it won't come on out? And his leg was the red, spoon when it's upside down. I'm like, dude, you're genius. And these, like, look really good. They're homemade.
So creative.
Fidget Spinner, he did that last year. It was pretty funny. He had, like, three rings everywhere. And this year... He is going for Halloween as Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, perfect.
Dude, he actually has a spring-loaded thing. Like, I don't know how he balances, but in the video that I'm going to post up, RadioNowIndy.com, he's jumping around like he's Tigger, and it looks absolutely awesome. So you need to step your Halloween game up. You got about, what, I don't know, like 30 or 40 hours to do that?
Not even that.
Get it together, people. But I just want to share that cool little inspirational thing right there. This guy named Josh that
every year
makes some really cool Halloween costumes. All right, your chance right now to win Jigsaw movie passes to go see it at AMC. We're going to play Riddle Me This, and I feel like you need to keep on calling in at 317-239-1009 because if the person doesn't get it, we're not giving out any clues. We're just going to move on to the next one unless you're really, really smart. You saw it? Do you see the question already?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Good. I was going to give it to you and MYK representing the listeners.
I'm like, no way.
I'm like, what if they don't know? Hey, Will, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you a smart riddle type of person? You can just solve them like no problem?
Yeah, somewhat. I'm all right.
All right, cool. Well, I hope you get this, Will. I really would like to hook you up this morning. Here is the riddle this morning for Riddle Me This on the Joe and Alex Show. White flesh above and brown gills below. Never moving an inch, and in darkness, I grow. What am I?
Can you repeat that again?
No problem. White flesh above and brown gills below. Never moving an inch, and in darkness, I grow. I need a guess out of here, Will. I'm going to need something, bud.
I don't know.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is.
You're not alone, man. We appreciate you calling in, though, Will. 317-239-1009. 1-800-242-1009. Let's go to Erica on the Joe and Alex Show. Erica, I'll read you the riddle again. White flesh above and brown gills below, never moving an inch, and in darkness I grow. What am I?
Gosh, that is tough. I'm sorry, I don't know. I have no clue.
Man.
It's okay, Erica. These are supposed to be tough. Kind of like, you know, from the movie Saw, where you got to figure out those riddles or you die.
Yeah.
Let's go to Josh on line two this morning. Josh is on the Joe and Alex Show, and here is the riddle again. White flesh above and brown gills below, never moving an inch, and in darkness, I grow. What am I?
I'm going to try a mushroom.
Josh, you are correct.
Wow. Good job, Josh. I would not have been able to get that.
Yeah, it was really hard.
Did you get that from other people getting it wrong? Or is it like, did you have time to finally Google it?
No, I was just going over the things. I knew, I was thinking darkness and darkness where it grows, but that was really hard.
Well, good. I never know if it's too hard or if it's like easy. The first person's like, duh, mushroom, next.
No, I think it was hard.
All right, Josh.
No, it was really hard.
Yeah, I think Josh has been to a festival or two before. Sounds like he knows what a mushroom is.
Josh, only two more. No, I'm kidding. You won right there. Congratulations, Josh. You won a pair of tickets to see Jigsaw at AMC. Hang on the line and we'll get all of your information and hook you up with that. More chances to win tomorrow. We'll play Riddle Me This again as we give away those Jigsaw movie passes to go see it at AMC.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again. Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
And again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Last week, we started a series about missing child Johnny Gosch. If you missed last week's Murder Monday, we strongly encourage you to go back and listen to it. RadioNowIndy.com. Just click on the Joe and Alex Show and then on the podcast section. Murder Monday is a weekly segment we do here on the Joe and Alex Show to bring awareness to what our friends at Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana do, which is provide you the means to report tips on crimes totally anonymously. You can do that by calling 317-262-TIPS. We love entertaining you with some of the most horrifying and disturbing true crime cases of all time every week. And here to finish up our two-part series about Johnny Gosch is Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. So a week ago, man, we got into some messed up, weird, creepy stuff. What, like a knock at the door?
Yeah, so where we left off, Johnny Gosch has been kidnapped, and a man named Paul Benassi had come forward and said that Johnny was basically abducted by him and forced into a child prostitution ring. And Johnny ends up showing up at Noreen's door, allegedly.
And that's his mom?
And that's his mom.
Okay.
But before we even get there, I need to back up because this scandal starts way before Johnny, and Johnny's only a small part of this whole story. So in 1981, in Omaha, Nebraska, a letter gets to the National Credit Union Association, and it is accusing a man named Larry King of embezzling money from the credit union. And this is not Larry King.
Hello, caller.
Yeah, not that crusty old white man. This is a African-American man who is actually a rising star in the Republican Party. And an initial investigation, just by looking at the books, they immediately know at least $400,000 is missing from this credit union. Mm. And you would think at almost $500,000, people would start asking questions. But every government agency almost shuts this investigation down. And it's not until almost 8 years later, in 1988, when they're getting so many letters and accusations that they have to fully investigate, they form a task force and find that he has embezzled over $40 million.
Dang!
And when they're investigating this $40 million, they can barely even look at the money because they are so inundated with accusations of abuse and basically people saying that he is running this child prostitution ring. They can't ignore it. And four witnesses come forward: Alicia Owen, Troy Bonner, Danny King, and Paul Benassi. And these are the four people who are really the face of the case. And they say that Larry King basically forced them into child prostitution. And it's not just he was abusing them or a couple of his friends were abusing them. This is a national
sex ring that they're talking about. And
members of the FBI, CIA, police, people in the White House, correct?
Yes. So they're saying that with all this money that he's embezzled, he literally has a private plane that he's flying all these children to and from, catering to these men. And a lot of their parties actually happened in Washington. And Larry was famous for these parties, and they would come in two phases. And really what it would be at phase one is like a very normal, on the up and up. People would bring their wives and kids to these parties, and all of the kids who were in the prostitution ring were basically forced to be servers and waiters at these kind of parties. And they would pick out who they wanted to assault later and then come back.
It was like shopping for children.
Yeah. If they saw something they liked, they would come back for a phase two and force these kids to do absolutely horrible, horrible things. Paul was actually said that he was forced to rape a boy, and then that boy was murdered later. So Paul is accusing all of these people of doing all these horrible things. And like you said, I mean, he says at these parties, this is during the Reagan-Bush administration, and he says both the president and the vice president were at these parties, members of the FBI, local police chiefs, so people from the local all the way to the White House. So
now it makes sense to you, if you're listening and you heard last week's series, part one of this, you understand now that's why Noreen couldn't get any help. The local police, right. The FBI, they were like, oh, he probably just ran away. No one wanted to help her because they were in on it.
And it's all going to come back to them, right? So they decide that nothing's happening. Obviously, the big guys are in on it. So the only way that they can get help is if they make this a national story and they go to the media, and they need proof. These allegations aren't getting them anywhere. And so Paul Benassi hires a former senator who's now a defense attorney named John DeCamp. And together, they're looking for, there's a difference between what's true and what you can prove in court. And they're looking for hard evidence. So they actually track some down, and they basically find the smoking gun that can literally take down the White House.
Ooh. All right. We're going to continue Murder Monday next. Talking about Johnny Gosch here on the Joe and Alex Show. You can tweet us, Joe and Alex Show, on Twitter and Instagram. Use the hashtag Murder Monday. Let us know what you think. We will continue this next on the Joe and Alex Show.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again.
Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
And you can follow us, Joe and Alex Show, on Twitter and Instagram. Use the hashtag Murder Monday to let us know what you think of it. Also, you can chime in and give us your thoughts and opinions.
I also posted a photo up on Instagram at Joe and Alex Show and Facebook, Radio 100.9. You can see a photo that Noreen says she was mailed of who she thinks is Johnny, tied up and gagged, and a newspaper clipping. Someone had tried to publish a story in the Washington Times about this alleged pedophile ring with the White House.
And right. Noreen is this guy we're talking about today, Johnny Gosch. That is his mom here. Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. We left off. You're talking about how the White House might be involved with this. By the way, I don't want to get killed. I don't even want to be talking about this. I don't believe anything happened, but what's going on? What happened?
So the White House might be involved, and they decide that Paul Benassi and his lawyer, John DeCamp, decide that they need physical proof if they're going to go to court. Making allegations against these people is doing nothing. So they actually have an investigator who goes out and finds a photographer named Rusty Nelson. And Rusty Nelson claims to be basically like the photographer for this child prostitution ring. And he said he was basically coerced and forced into doing this. He thought he was signing up for a normal gig. Mm-hmm. And when he shows up, they have him take pictures, child pornography, videos, snuff films. And he didn't want to, but he said, again, I'm in a room with the FBI.
The most powerful people,
the CIA,
in the country.
The president, right. He's like, I don't have a choice. And once they do it once, he's like, they have all of this blackmail on me. Do you think that they couldn't take me down if they wanted to? But mm-hmm. he's like, I want this to end. I want to come forward. I will give you everything I have. Pictures, videos, all of it. So the investigator, whose name's Gary Caradori, and Rusty Nelson, the photographer, decide to meet up in Chicago. And Gary Caradori takes his single-engine plane and his son and flies to Chicago.
And with all the photos?
Gets everything. He calls John DeCamp, the lawyer, and says, I've got it. We've got everything on them. I have names, addresses. We are finally a step ahead of these guys, and we are going to take them all down. But when he goes to fly back, his plane crashes.
Let me just tell you, this is the first of like over 50 mysterious deaths of people's spouses, of themselves, their children, all these crazy things, people going missing. Anyone that has ever tried to speak out about this, which is why it took a long time. We debated even talking about this on Murder Monday.
Hold on. I'm not speaking out about a damn thing.
It is very scary stuff. All these people go missing or die mysteriously when they try to out what is going on in our government. And this is a real thing that is still going on. If you're listening right now and you think this happened in the 80s and the 90s and it's over, it is not over.
It's not over. And I use the word crashes. Crash was not the right word. So if you have a plane crash, all your debris is in one area. His plane debris was spread out over miles. So all we can figure is something happened to his plane in air, whether it was shot down, whether it exploded. But here is a clip of Rusty in an interview talking about the investigation after the crash.
The deputy got out there, and he was there only a couple minutes, and the FBI shows up.
Uh-huh.
And they flat out threatened him. And they told him, you did not see anything. You do not tell anybody. You keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Well, about a year later, he started to talk about it a little bit. His wife was murdered.
There you go. Yep. Well, you can either go through life and you can pretend like this stuff doesn't happen because you don't want to hear about it. This is disturbing for you to listen to on your way to work. Or you can have open eyes and realize this stuff is going on in our country. And if nobody ever talks about it, then we're never, ever going to get these people.
And that's exactly what they decided to do. Paul Benassi was basically realizing, you know, if someone's being quiet about this and trying to do investigation quietly, they get snuffed out. And the only way to protect himself was to go extremely public. And that's when he reached out to Noreen.
Yeah.
Johnny's mom.
And see, that's the only reason I think Noreen hasn't been killed, because she's so public. Like, this is what's going on. This is what's going on. So it would be too obvious if
exactly.
she went missing or something happened to her. Everyone would know that she's telling the truth.
But exactly. So but if you're saying this is a big government conspiracy, a thing they're doing and they're covering it up, you don't think the government could, like, make it look like an accident, or she just somehow dies in her sleep, like, because something they slipped her or shot her up with?
I don't know.
Well, she's been talking so long. There's already 50 of those, 50 plus of those. She's been drawing attention to it. So if she does, I think it would be much more obvious.
Yeah.
So Paul Benassi tells Noreen that basically Johnny was a catalog kid, which means that they would go around the country taking pictures of children, send this catalog to these high, powerful men, and whichever kid that they wanted, they would pick out, and then they would go abduct. And this is how Noreen knows that what Paul is saying is true, because something she never told the media was that in weeks before Johnny went missing, someone was driving around the neighborhood taking pictures of him and the other kids in the neighborhood. So Paul Benassi tells Noreen about two types of children that they take and gives her more information on what happened to Johnny.
I was not a kept kid. I was not one for sale that way, because I was doing things other for him that they didn't want to sell me. Plus, I was damaged kids. These guys wanted kids that had not been involved in any sexual stuff. And Johnny got bought by a guy that was actually in Colorado, so he ended up there. And he'd been with a lot of guys there, too, that this guy had made him for money. So but he never got the money. The guy got the money.
So what he tells her is that Johnny's been taken. He's been taken to Colorado. This is when Johnny shows up at her door, and they have an hour together, and he basically confirms everything that Paul Benassi has said. And he tells Noreen, listen, I'm here, I'm okay, but keep going, but I can't come forward or I'm going to be killed. And Noreen partners with America's Most Wanted to try and air this story, because they have such a national presence. And they even think this story is crazy.
And a lot of people didn't believe when Noreen finally admitted that Johnny had came and knocked on her door. People thought she was making it up, because she's just a sad mother who lost her child. She's imagining things that her kid came and talked to her, because she had no proof. She's just saying he came, but he told me he had to go back, that he couldn't stay because they would kill me and they would kill him.
Right. So they hear the story about Colorado, and what else Paul tells them is that Johnny tried to run away, and he was basically branded for running away. And there's this house in Colorado where Paul says Johnny was kept for a while, and he was kept for a while. And this house is actually the proof that America's Most Wanted finds to prove that all of this is real.
All right, part 3 of Murder Monday today. of Johnny Gosch will happen next. We'll give you all the details. You can follow along, hashtag Murder Monday on Twitter and Instagram. It's the Joe and Alex Show.
Zodiac, a symbol that now stands for terror,
has killed five and says he's going to kill again.
Psychopath.
Remember, investigators say there were unusually high levels of chloroform found in Casey Anthony's trunk.
But again, OJ appears to be holding a gun to his head.
Police won't confirm a newspaper report that Dahmer has confessed to murder and cannibalism.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
Ashley Flowers from Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. Continuing a two-part series about Johnny Gosch, and you can follow along on this whole journey. Joe and Alex Show on our Twitter and Instagram using the hashtag Murder Monday. We want to hear your thoughts on this, and we also want you to see some stuff, Alex.
So Lindsay just tweeted us at Joe and Alex Show and said, is this the same pedophile ring that Corey Feldman is speaking out against? Yes. I mean, it involves everybody prominent in our country. Hollywood elites, like Ashley said, people in our government, in the White House, administrations, FBI, CIA, police, everybody. Robin said this is so scary and disgusting on so many levels, especially if you think this is still going on in our government. I mean, here's the thing. Child pedo rings are going on all over the world. It's a billion-dollar industry.
Yeah.
If you think that this isn't going on, what do you think about human trafficking and stuff? It's only just now becoming something that people even know exists. When this was all starting in the 60s, 70s, 80s, people didn't understand what it was. At least we now know the term human trafficking, but there's an even bigger industry for young boys.
Right. Right. So where we left off is American Most Wanted is investigating. Even they think this is a crazy story. And Paul Benassi is telling them about a house where all these young kids were kept in Colorado. And he describes this house as having a hole that was dug underneath it. Not a basement, just this dirt hole where they would hide the boys in case the police came. And they actually go and they find this house. It's exactly like Paul Benassi described. And when they find the opening, they get down into this hole and there are these wood beams. And on the beams are carved initials of a bunch of kids that Paul Benassi talked about, basically proving that they were there. And when they air the episode, a bunch of kids start calling in and confirming everything that Paul said. They said, yes, I was involved in this too. One kid even came forward and had the same brand on him that Paul talked about when Johnny Gosch tried to run away. So all of this is getting confirmed, but what America's Most Wanted said is they would take 2 steps forward, 20 steps back, because they couldn't prove anything. Even the guy who owned the house, he was a prison guard who mysteriously went missing. No one ever found him.
See?
Right. Over and over and over again, we can only cover a small portion of this story.
It is massive.
People die. People go missing. Every time we get close to answers, that person is gone. And that's where really the story kind of ends. Nothing came of this. And the guy who was in charge of this, Larry King, actually only served less than 10 years just for embezzlement. He was never brought on charges for the sex trafficking ring. And if you want to see a picture of this turd bucket, you can go to my Instagram, at IndyAshFlowers. And he is living free. He's fine. And actually, what they did with the four witnesses, Paul Benassi and Alicia Owen and the other two, they prosecuted them for perjury. They went on the stand, told what the truth. They didn't like the truth. And so it never been done before, never been done since. Alicia Owen actually got 25 years in prison.
Is that not the worst
for trying
thing you've
to testify?
Heard? That makes me sick to my stomach. And there, like Ashley said, there's so many layers to this. Like, we can't even get, there's podcasts and stuff if you really want to go in depth on this that are a couple hours long and stuff, because we haven't even covered, we're barely on the surface of all the stuff going on in this story.
A great documentary called Conspiracy of Silence that really goes into it if you can handle a 90s documentary.
It's like on YouTube because I think they aired it on the Discovery Channel and then they aired it and then they were told they were never allowed to air it again.
Well, they never even
got
to air it. The Discovery Channel paid for it. And then right when they were doing the final edits, they got shut down. And so now it lives on the internet somewhere, but Discovery didn't want anything to do with it.
So, so where is Johnny Gosch today? Where is Johnny Gosch? Is he murdered for Murder Monday? Is he dead?
We don't know. So in 2005, there was some speculation. There was a man named Jeff Gannon who was a White House correspondent. And it came out that he really wasn't who he said he was. He was involved in this escort service prior to that. And this investigator theorized that he was Johnny Gosch.
Living among us.
Living among us, right. And we'll post some pictures on Instagram if you want to look at the similarities. But Noreen actually believes that this is the case. She said the person that came to her door looks a lot like this Jeff Gannon.
Yeah, but Noreen says that Jeff Gannon has certain scars and stuff on his body mm-hmm. that she's seen in photos of him on the internet, everything that Johnny had and all this weird stuff. And Paul Benassi told her, he said, listen, Johnny is alive and well. He doesn't want you to know where he is and stuff because he's still so scared now, even as an adult man, to say who or where he is because right. of what could happen to him or her. So he, like, refuses to come forward.
Right. Right, so we don't know where Johnny is. Johnny is dead. Johnny is alive.
And one thing that I really wanted to do, and I had talked about this with Joe and MYK, before Murder Monday became a thing, I knew that I wanted to talk about the story on the show so bad because it just blows my mind. And one thing I wanted to do was have Noreen call into the show and actually talk to her. But when I started looking into having Noreen, because she does interviews for radio and TV, when I started looking into having her on the show, I found a story about another morning show in Nebraska who a few years ago had her on. And the next day, so they interview her about the case. The next day, this radio jock comes into work and his program director, his boss, says, hey, man, I need you to get all your stuff. I need you to go. And he's like, well, why? And he said, all I can tell you is because of your interview with Noreen yesterday.
Yeah.
And basically what came out was these people, the government, the FBI, whatever, obviously went to that radio personality's boss and said, if you don't fire him, we're going to kill you for talking about this case.
Right.
And so I'm dead serious. We kind you of are should, risking our
not
lives
me,
talking
not me,
about this.
Like I said, this is the one time I said I've got nothing to do. I was sick today. I wasn't here. You should do it and see what happens.
It's really scary.
There's no way our boss would fire you.
Well, if he's threatened, they might kill him, murder him.
Nah, he's ready to die. Our boss would, like, bring a gun or something. He'd do a shootout.
If you want to learn more about this case, there's podcasts and stuff that if you want to tweet us at Joan Alex Show, I can and put those out if you want even more information. But there's photos of Johnny tied up and stuff that were sent to Noreen. Instagram at Joan Alex Show and Facebook Radio Now 100.9. You can see those.
Wow. Ashley Flowers bringing the heat from
wow.
Crime Stoppers of Central Indiana. Thank you so much. Little warning coming up in the garbage right now. Alex actually wrote a song about it.
Lots and lots of pedophiles.
Hope you're ready.
It's the Joe and Alex Show. Who cares about this garbage?
Yeah, I don't know when this show became the pedophile show, but like it just happens to be a huge thing going on right
lots
now.
Lots and lots of pedophiles.
I don't know where you guys got that.
Lots and lots of pedophiles.
You said it.
Yeah, you said it.
I know, it's me, but I don't remember saying it. So
you
after,
didn't, you sung it.
Lots and lots of pedophiles. Actor Anthony Rapp has accused Kevin Spacey of making a sexual advance at him when he was 14. In an interview with BuzzFeed, Rapp said Spacey picked him up, put him on his bed, and was trying to get with him sexually in 1986. Spacey was 26 at the time. In response to the allegation, Spacey tweeted that he was beyond horrified to hear his story. He said, I honestly don't remember it, but it would have been over 30 years ago. If I did behave as he describes, I owe him the sincerest apology for what would have been deeply inappropriate drunken behavior, and I'm sorry for the feelings he describes having carried with him all these years. This story has encouraged me to address other things about my life. He says that he has had relationships with both men and women and has had romantic encounters with men throughout his life, and I choose now to live as a gay man. People on social media are furious, though, and say that Spacey is using his coming out as an excuse for his pedophilic behavior. So basically he's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to touch you when you were 14 years old, but I'm gay. That's like essentially what he's saying. So it's kind of like
what are
messed
these-
up. I don't know.
An actor, right? Like, what's a 14-year-old kid doing at a party? Like, I'm not blaming the kid, but I'm like, who invites these kids to these parties?
The pedophiles.
Who?
The pedophiles.
Lots and lots of pedophiles.
I gotta make that a hotkey so I can hit it anytime I want. Okay.
Singer Janet Jackson and her brother Randy Jackson have visited their childhood home in Gary, Indiana, and talked with local high school students. Janet Jackson told students at Roosevelt High School that she started crying when she saw the small house. She said, me and my family are so blessed. I'm so thankful. The 51-year-old said she was 8 years old at the last time that she was in Gary. Miley Cyrus opened up about her Hannah Montana days and how hard that was on her.
Now, I realize that's a lot to put on a kid. It's a lot to put on a kid to have them have to go get their makeup done and then also balance school and then also have me dress up, you know, in a wig as a kid is a little weird. You know, it's a little toddlers and tiaras.
Kathy Griffin posted a 17-minute long video over the weekend basically declaring war on both her former boss, Bravo's Andy Cohen, and Harvey Levin, founder of TMZ. In the 17-minute video, the comedian lobs accusations at both men, saying people like Harvey Levin and Andy Cohen honestly just live to take women down. She said Andy was a terrible boss when she worked for him on her show My Life on the D-List and said it was so bad that she wasn't even told that her show was canceled. She also made this shocking accusation.
I've actually done Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen twice in the, I think, 10 years it's been on. And I've never said this before, obviously, but both times I did the show, right before we went live, Andy Cohen privately asked me in an office in Embassy Row, which is the production company that does that show, if I wanted to do blow.
Charlie Heaton, a.k.a. Jonathan Byers, on the hit Netflix show Stranger Things, was detained at LAX Saturday for alleged cocaine possession. The 23-year-old British actor was denied entry into the United States and sent back to the U.K. the same day. Authorities allegedly found cocaine on the actor as he arrived into the country. He was detained but not arrested. By the way, I binged all of season 2 of Stranger Things Saturday.
How many episodes is that?
9 hours. Nine episodes, 9 hours. So I watched it for 9 hours straight. You are not a real fan if you did not binge it all this weekend, I gotta say.
Whoa. Hold on. Producer MYK.
I thought there were like 17 episodes. Did you watch all of them?
Yeah.
Producer MYK, are you a fan?
Yes, I am.
Not according to Alex, you're not.
Not a true fan, because you didn't watch it for 9 hours.
Delete your Netflix.
I got things to do.
Oh, exactly. Like what?
I don't have anything to do.
What? Okay.
But I did dust 6 of them.
Six?
Six, yeah.
God, did you go to the bathroom?
I wore a diaper, actually a pull-up, so I didn't have to. Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez had breakfast together yesterday. They were seen talking inside a cafe in California. This is the third time they've been spotted hanging out without The Weeknd. Liam Payne from One Direction was living with his girlfriend Cheryl in L.A. last year when she was pregnant with their son Bear, and they claimed that they were haunted by a ghost. Liam said that it made Cheryl too scared to sleep in their bed. They began to feel a presence haunting the house with lights flickering on and off in the middle of the night. Liam said that they ended up sleeping in their theater room. And singer-songwriter Teddy Geiger has announced that he's transitioning from a man to a woman. He shared a photo of his response to a follower asking on Twitter, "Tell us, why do you look differently lately?" He replied, "Okay, because you asked nicely, I am transitioning. I started talking about it with a couple of my close friends and family about a month ago, and it's given me the courage to start the process. I feel like the next step is to tell all y'all, so here it goes." And Cardi B got engaged to her rapper boyfriend Offset live on stage during a show on Friday in Philadelphia. Offset is part of the group Migos, and he got down on 1D when he asked Cardi to marry him. And her ring, by the way, is insane. I think it's like,
it's so 7 carats. Big. It's so,
it is massive.
Gaudy.
No, I love it. It's gorgeous. I thought like it would be ugly being that big, but I actually really like it.
Do you like
it.
That design? I don't even know what
it's
you
like
would call
it's like a teardrop.
It's like, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it's really pretty. That is the garbage.
Is that what you're expecting out of a guy one day when he pops the question and drops to a knee?
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay. Guys, you got it. 5 to 7 carats and you got Alex. This is something did you still want to talk about this, Alex? I know you mentioned you might have had a glass or two of wine when you sent us this, but I was like, wait a minute. You get pleasure out of this?
Yeah, it's funny. If you follow me,
it's so boring.
If you follow me on Snapchat at YoAlexRaps with a Z, then you know that Ashley Flowers and I, who does Murder Monday with us, we went and got a little wine drunk, went to Luvino and Fisher's, which is one of the best restaurants in Indy, by the way. I love that place. So her, me, and my friend Lauren all went, and we started talking about this. I don't know how we came on the subject because, like I said, I was a little wine drunk, but I just mentioned casually that I love watching people open presents. Like bridal showers, baby showers, Christmas, other people, not myself. I love watching people open gifts. It is so fun for me. Like, it's just so exciting. You know, you don't know what they're going to get, what they're going to open. I love it. Well, they were like, "You're insane. That is so boring." And I was like, no. I was like, that's why unboxing videos on YouTube and stuff are so popular. People like watching people open things. I'm not the only one. I was like, or else these videos on YouTube and stuff wouldn't have all these views. And they were like, no, you're the only one. And I am telling you, I am not.
You might not be alone, but that doesn't mean you're not weird. Like, who? I understand, like, they say it's better to give than to receive. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm going to get you guys all Christmas presents. They're not going to be that good, but I'll do that. Like, it does feel good to give somebody something or donate your time, whatever. Like, that is a great thing. But I hate, absolutely hate watching people open up presents.
Why?
Multiple reasons. Let's just say, like, it's boring. Like, let's say we do a Christmas exchange here and you give Liv a gift. I don't want to watch Liv open your gift. I don't care about that. Like, hurry up. What's for me? But also, let's say I give Liv a gift. Give her a gift. What? And I'm like, oh, crap. I thought I knew something about Liv. I tried to bond with her over the couple of months I knew her before I gave her this gift. I'm like, what if she doesn't like it? Imagine doing that for your mother-in-law, doing that for your girlfriend, then fiance, then now wife.
See, like, when I'm like the person at bridal showers where everybody's like dreading for the present opening to begin, and I'm like, let's open presents, like, even though it's not my bridal shower, I just love watching them open and seeing what all they get.
What about you, producer MYK? Do you enjoy watching people open presents? Is that fun for you? Like Alex was talking about?
I mean,
or
it's entertaining
like, no?
to see what they're going to get. But I wouldn't say I have a big smile on my face while they're doing it.
See,
but
I am curious.
I am curious. I'm like, ooh, what do they get? What do they got in that box?
When they start crying because they get excited about something, I start crying.
You brought it up, Alex. Is that something you find yourself watching unboxing videos on YouTube?
Yeah, sometimes. I love it. Liv, do you ever watch those?
I've seen a couple on YouTube, but I'm absolutely obsessed with watching people open up gifts. Like, even if I don't give them the gift, if someone else is opening up a gift from someone else, like, I love watching people open up gifts.
Why do you love
I don't
it
know
so
like
much?
Their joy. I just get so excited yes. for them that someone is like thought about them to like get them a gift.
Yeah.
Like I just like it makes me so excited and happy. I love it.
What's wrong with you people?
Is it a female versus male thing? Is it guys that don't give a crap about watching people open gifts and more females do? Or is it not even that? It's just like we just happen to both like it and we're both girls.
I don't like I enjoy it. Like I'm happy if my wife liked your gift, but I'm like, hurry, open the damn, you know what I can't stand? If you're the person that takes forever to open up your box, no, it's not taped that bad. It's not that, just do it.
Like they gingerly take off each piece of tape so they don't
rip
the
sucker open and grab all the crap inside. Don't be like, oh, I wonder what this could be.
Well, no. Some people like to keep the wrapping paper so they take their time so they don't tear the wrapping paper.
Go after Christmas. It's like a penny for a roll. Oh, my God. Okay.
Am I alone in this? Please don't make me feel alone in this. At least
I'm
Liv
with
is
you,
with
Alex.
Me.
Yeah.
Yeah, Liv the Web Girl's with me.
317-239-1009. Joan Alex Show on Twitter and Instagram. Do you enjoy, like Alex and Liv the Web Girl, do you actually enjoy unwrapping, like watching people unwrap their gifts? I can't even say it because it sounds so silly. Or are you like, hell no, that's the most boringest thing I've ever seen in my life. We'll talk to you next on the Joan Alex Show. Alex gets pleasure. She gets enjoyment. She really likes to watch people open up gifts and presents. It could be the birthday, the baby shower, Christmas. You make up a holiday, you name it. Oh, she loves to watch you unwrap gifts. And it doesn't even have to be from you, right? It could just be like, just be randomly like, oh, they're opening a gift. I love watching that. 317-239-1009. How many people actually are kind of that same way?
Am I weird?
You're totally weird. Nobody's even calling in. Oh, wait, hold on. We have one call. Leah, you're on the Joan Alex Show. You're the one and only caller here.
Good morning.
Do you do this? Do you actually enjoy watching people open up their gifts?
I do, actually, but mine's like a little bit more than that. I'm like obsessed with getting somebody like their favorite gift.
Yeah.
Of like every holiday, like my favorite, like niece or nephew's birthday, Christmas, anything, like I will spend, especially my closest friends and family members, I'll spend like all year just listening to like things that they say that they want to go do or that they want, and I'll make little notes. Like I have a Christmas list year round in my phone and like just surprise people with things that they may have said in like April.
Totally. Okay, so let me ask you this. Have you ever heard of the five love languages?
Yes.
Okay, so do you know if your love language is giving and receiving gifts?
Probably. I haven't read the whole book.
Okay, so you can take a quiz online for free on like 5lovelanguages.com or whatever. You don't even have to read the book, but I bet that your love language is giving and receiving gifts, because that's my second one. So my first one is words of affirmation, and then my second one is giving and receiving gifts, because I really do, I feel the exact same way. Like I take a lot of pride, especially if I'm dating someone at Christmas and stuff, and finding the perfect gift for them, and like that is so much more special to me even than getting something good. I just love giving too. But watching people open gifts even if they're not for me is so thrilling.
Hey, thank you for the call this morning, Leah. We appreciate it.
I guess I'm weird.
Wait, all right, hold on. There are some phones ringing. Maybe they think we're giving away prizes. Let's see. Good morning, Joan Alex Show. Who is this?
This is Amy.
Do you enjoy like watching people unwrap gifts?
I absolutely love giving gifts and watching them unwrap them. But I wanted to tell Alex, today is my birthday, so if you want to buy me one, I can come down to the station and you can walk me open.
Touché!
What do you want Alex to get you?
Gift card, perfume, whatever.
Sephora gift card, good. Sure, I got you, girl.
All right, cool. All right. Hey, thank you, and happy birthday.
But see, the thing is it fun to watch people open gifts if they're not from you? Like, because I could watch somebody at a bridal shower open gifts from all the other people, and I'm excited about it.
That's the question.
No, it's boring. It's kind of exciting if I know they're going to love what I'm getting them. Like, if I was to get, like, if my wife loved football and I got her, like, Super Bowl tickets.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow, she's really excited about it. But if she's just opening up whatever, at least for me, that's why I think it's like, I think you guys are alone on this one. Hey, who's this? Good morning.
Jordan.
Hey, Jordan, do you enjoy unwrapping, like watching people unwrap gifts, or you think it's kind of a weird thing?
I like it. I was calling about the YouTube unboxing.
Yeah, you like to watch that?
Yeah, just because I realize it's kind of weird, but I think what it is it's kind of relatable. Just that feeling of, you know, I'm opening an iPhone, watching an iPhone video unboxing.
Yeah.
So I know it's an iPhone, but, you know, we all relate to that feeling. We've had it before. You know, you're excited opening your phone, so.
All right, cool. Hey, thank you for the call this morning.
It's not weird. Listen,
I really appreciate
it. For hours, somebody's like, I just bought, you know, a couple of things from Ulta or Sephora or whatever, want to watch me open it. I'm like, yes. Like, I am obsessed. And you know what? Kids like the unboxing videos, the toy unboxing. Why do people like it, Joe? It's a big thing.
I don't know anybody that likes it except for you and then Live the Web Girl chiming on
in.
No! Hey, though, you know what, though? Nothing wrong with it. Whatever makes you happy is happy. So you want to buy me a big-ass amount of gifts? I'll wrap them for you anytime. Joe's Need to Know News. Alex's favorite part of the show is when we talk sports. So did you watch the World Series last night, Alex?
I did not.
You missed it?
I watched Superstore last night.
Oh, surprised you missed the World Series.
So wait, last night was the whole thing, the World Series. So who won?
Well, it's not the whole thing. It was Game 5. The Houston Astros beat the Los Angeles Dodgers 13-12 in extra innings. They went to 10 innings, and they take a 3-2 game lead. So Game 6, they could win it all if they win on Tuesday in L.A.
Okay, so Tuesday determines who the final two people are, is what you're saying?
Not exactly. Nope.
Okay, this is way too confusing.
It's the final. The World Series is like the championship, like the Super Bowl of baseball.
Okay, so Tuesday. So the last game was the final two. Tuesday is the World Series.
No. There's the final two teams.
This is so hard for me to understand.
He knows sports hurts her.
There's two teams.
Hurts my brain.
There's two teams, and they're in the World Series.
Right. So when is the World Series game?
Game 6. It's best of 7. So you got to win 4 games to be the World Series champions. Game 6 is tomorrow, and the Houston Astros have won 3 games. The Los Angeles Dodgers have won 2.
Right, so like how many weeks from now until the actual World Series?
The World Series is going on now.
Okay. So confused. This is why when people don't understand that I don't know like local sports stuff, this is why I don't understand sports.
Do you understand like if we played rock, paper, scissors and we did best of 3?
I thought the World Series was a game. Like, you remember like the Cubs played somebody and they won the World Series. Like, that was a World Series game.
Best of 7. There were 7 games. Okay,
I think I understand.
All right, sports. Did you watch the Colts game yesterday?
No, I never watch any sports.
The Colts lost yesterday to the Bengals 24-23.
Oh, no!
At least it was
we
close.
We suck again!
Yeah, Nebraska beat Purdue 25-24.
Oh, no! We suck again!
And Maryland beat IU 42-39.
Oh, no! We suck again!
Yep, the Pacers beat the Spurs, though. That's pretty cool, 97-94. The Pacers are off today, and they play the Sacramento Kings Tuesday at Bankers Life Fieldhouse. This story scares the crap out of me to ever go on a cruise or just on a boat, anything bigger than a lake where I know I can swim my fat butt back to shore. Jennifer and Tasha set out with their dog Zeus and Valentine on a 2,700-mile sailing journey from Hawaii to Tahiti when the weather got bad and they lost their engine. This happened back in May.
Yikes.
The duo and their dogs were rescued 900 miles southeast of Japan by the U.S. Navy. It happened on Wednesday. So during their time on the water, the pair of them and their boys, as they call their dogs, survived 2 separate shark attacks on their boat, saying both of them were actually lucky that they got through. They thought that like that was gonna be lights out. They were just horrific attacks. The sharks were ramming the boat. They said they were incredibly lucky that the hull was strong enough to withstand that. After losing one of their phones on the first day out, so I don't know if it fell over the boat or just died. Bad weather caused their engine to lose power and damage their mast about a month into their trip, which is like the big thing that has the sail that hangs from it. So they were just kind of floating wherever the water took them.
What'd they eat and drink?
Well, luckily, their boat drifted across miles of open ocean. They survived thanks to a water purifier and the fact that they'd packed enough food to last for a year.
Oh, so they had like a Brita water filter, like
a high end one, yeah,
like a little pitcher, so they could just take ocean water,
yeah, ocean edition, yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's crazy.
Wow.
The woman credited their dogs with helping them survive by keeping them in good spirits throughout the nightmare voyage, because I would lose my mind, even like a day out there, right? But they would have died for sure without that food. There's no way you're fishing.
Bet they thought about eating those dogs.
Would you? Like, when would you give up and have to eat the dog?
Day one.
Day one?
I was going to say, I was surprised they didn't eat the dogs, too.
You couldn't go, like, maybe like a week without eating the dog?
I'm hungry.
How many days were they lost at sea?
They've been gone for months, since May.
How did they
like
not eat the dog?
Five or six months.
You got to eat the dog.
Because
you have to.
Here's the thing.
They had a year's worth of food. That's why. I said that and water, so they were fine.
They only had a year. They don't know, though, if they're going to get rescued within a year. So I'd be rationing a lot.
You'd start out eating the dog first before the food ran out?
No. But what I'm saying is, here's what I'm trying to say. What I'm trying to say is, if you're rationing for yourself because you don't know if you're going to get rescued within a year, then I wouldn't be giving the dogs my food. You know what I mean? Because I'm trying to survive. So unfortunately, I feel like they would be the ones to pass away. And then...
Remind me never to take you on a trip with my dogs.
I probably
my
wouldn't
dogs
eat them,
die.
But I wouldn't eat them, but I'd probably just let them float away in the ocean. The sharks would eat them.
What the hell is wrong with you?
Well, I feel like you have... She let her dogs...
You're such a terrible person.
No, she let her... It's survival.
No, it's not.
Yes, she let her dogs eat some of her food cheap, but what if she wouldn't have gotten rescued within a year? She needed that food for herself. You got to look out for yourself. You're the human being.
You
can't put the dogs above yourself.
You're going to put a dog into the water.
If it dies, I'm not going to put a live dog in the water.
I don't know. I feel like you would put a live dog. Oh, look, the shark's coming.
I wouldn't want to. Maybe after a few days, I'd let them eat my food. But after I'd been gone for several months, I'd start thinking, okay, there is no guarantee I will ever get rescued. I need to start not letting my dogs eat my food. Do you see what I'm saying? Like, you got to keep it for yourself.
No.
So
like,
after several months of not being rescued, first, I'm going to help keep the dogs alive. But after that, I'm like, okay, I probably shouldn't be giving them any more of my food. Because they don't matter like you matter, you know?
No.
If you're talking about a human being versus a dog, who's going to survive? You're going to give all the dogs your food so they live and not you?
Dogs don't even eat that much food, Alex. Seriously.
Oh, come on.
You have no clue because you don't like animals or pets.
It's not that I want the dogs to die, but I'm saying in a dog-eat-dog situation, you have to do what you gotta do. I'm not a bad person.
You are a terrible, terrible person.
What if people who live on a deserted island have to eat a squirrel and roast it over an open fire?
A squirrel is not the same thing as a person's dog.
No, it's sad when it's a pet, but like... You're making this way too hard. I'm just saying a few months in,
brought it up. You're the one that brought it up about hey, throw the dog in the water, a shark bait.
If it dies. If it dies because you need the food for yourself. What are you not getting?
I totally get it. And they had a year's worth of food.
But only a year. Let's say she was going to be stranded for 5 years. You've heard of people being
stranded
on islands and stuff.
Are you like picturing like the cartoon where the dogs are like playing poker and pool? Are you picturing like this dog like needs to like pull up there, get a knife and silverware? Like, don't get stingy on the food. I need to have a full meal too.
No!
You give a dog a cup of food, like some rice or whatever, and it's good to go, or like a little nibble of chicken, and it'll survive.
I know that seems like not a lot whenever you're like in a normal day of life, but when you only have a year's worth of food, every nibble of rice is important. Am I crazy?
Yes. Good morning, Joe and Alex show. Hello.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. Do you think Alex is crazy here, like trying to throw the dog in the water?
Absolutely.
What?
The fact that you put a dog before a human is insane to me, honestly.
Wait, no, that's agreeing with me. Who do you agree with?
No, not Alex. No, you don't get rid of the dog because of your food. I'm sure you have like a year's worth of dog food too. You don't even have to worry about getting rid of your food.
This isn't hypothetical. This is a real thing that happened. This woman, two dogs, correct?
Two dogs, two women.
Two women involved, not even one. So what I'm saying is that if you only have a year's worth of food for two humans and two dogs, after a couple months of being stranded, you have to keep the food for the humans, and the dogs are going to eventually die because you can't keep giving them the food to live. The humans need to survive. So when they pass away, that's when you put them in the water as shark bait. It's not like you just do it when they're alive.
Hold on. Good morning, Joe and Alex show. There might be a package at the front desk, or this could be somebody important calling in. Hello.
No, what I'm saying, I just want to chime in. This is Buster. I just want to chime in on this. Listen, at some point, you're not going to be able to to decide. That dog is going to decide for you because he's going to get hungry and eat your ass.
Yeah, that's true, too. Those dogs will get survival mode. Because
you hear about those stories all the time, like grandmother killed by a little nibbler.
I hope the dog doesn't eat that.
Well, there's not a lot of stories of people being stranded on boats with dogs.
Buster, your dog wouldn't eat you. Your dog would never eat you.
If I was hiding food from him and he was starving, please.
Oh, you know what we have heard of is people that pass away and they have cats and stuff, and their cats will eat their dead body if nobody has come to rescue the corpse or get it out of the house, and there's animals living in there because they're hungry and they can't get into their cat food and stuff. They eat the human.
Imagine you're going to go sailing the sea. You're going to go from Tahiti to Hawaii. But oh no, your power goes out in the engine. You lose your phone, no communication, nobody's answering you. It's just you, your friend that's a girl, maybe lover, and your two dogs. What are you gonna do? Alex says you need to go up to those dogs and say, I'm gonna eat you.
No, that's not what I said. I don't think you're probably not gonna eat the dog because you can't make a fire. You're not on an island. You're on a boat. So
what do you do with it? You're saying, but you wouldn't feed the dogs anymore after a while.
Okay, after a while. So here's the situation. So this is a real story that happened. These two women were rescued and their two dogs, right?
Yep, and they had a year's supply of food and water filters.
You don't know. There's no guarantee that you're going to get rescued. So if you know that you have a year's supply of food only, and after 6 months, and there's two humans that need to be able to eat, after 6 months of still not being rescued, you're like, okay, well, I only have 6 months left of food. I probably need to stop feeding the dogs as much because I don't know that I'm going to get rescued within a year. You have to let the dogs unfortunately starve, and then you would have to put them overboard or whatever when they die, but like you have to survive. So as a human being, your survival, you and that other person, like you have to ration that only 6 months left of food or whatever for yourself.
Here's the dogs looking at Alex. Get back. No, bitch, you're eating me.
Oh, they sound well fed there.
You guys act like I look forward to it.
Sounds like a happy dog.
You guys are acting like I look forward to it, like I want dogs to die. I don't, but like in a survival type of situation, that is the choice that you have to make. Actually, Maddie on Twitter at Joan Alex Show said Alex would definitely outlive Joe in a situation like this because she has mad survival skills.
Yeah, right.
How? Your woman's saying you would let your dogs eat your last remaining amounts of food.
I would share it as long as I could if I knew I had a year's supply of food.
That's the point. I just said as long as you could. At about 6 months of not being rescued, you're like, okay.
No. I would share it if I had a year's worth of food, and it would be 11 months if you share it with them. I would totally do that. Let's go to line number one. Jessica on the Joan, you're a survivor, okay? Alex versus Wild. Good morning, Jessica. What's going on?
Good morning.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What did you want to say about the situation here?
I would not eat the dog or throw it over if it died. I mean, I would share my year's worth of food because if you know that you have a year's worth of food and you don't know how long you're going to, you know, till you get survived, I mean, why don't you expand that year's worth of food and only give your dogs your scraps?
Why not give your dog nothing after like 6 months because you don't know, because then you have even more food for yourself in case it takes way longer than a year.
You're so greedy.
I'm not greedy.
If you're just feeding your dog your scraps and then listen to this, you go through all the seasons. That dog can help keep you warm through them cold nights.
Well, you have another human with you, though. You're not alone. Now, here's the thing. If if it's only you and a dog, fine. But I'm saying we have two humans in this situation and two dogs. The humans have to be prioritized. I don't understand people that don't get that. We have to come first before an animal.
Of course humans are above animals, but Alex, there's a year's worth of food.
That's not that much if they are going to be stranded for 5 years.
How hungry are you?
I'm not saying you eat all the food within a year. I'm saying you have to make the year food stretch potentially for like 10 years. You don't know.
Ravi, you're on the Joan Alex Show.
Hey, man, I cannot believe Alex said that. Come on, Alex. No way.
I can't relate.
Eat your own dogs. No, you have 1 year worth supply of food.
I'm saying eat the dogs. Don't eat the dog. If you're on an island, you might have to start a fire if you had no food. They have other food.
If you're on an island, you have food all over the island.
No, you don't all the time. Read some real survival stories. Because
how do you know that? You can use your dog to catch other animals as well.
Listen, every island is different. We have read tons of survival stories. Some islands have any edible food. Why are you guys yelling at me? I am the one that has more information on this scenario. I'm getting so aggravated. I'm sick today. People thinking that I'm saying just eat dogs. That's not what I'm saying. I'm getting upset.
A dog doesn't take that much food. It just eats crap and survives for 2-3 days. And also, on an abandoned ship or something like that, where you're flown away deep in the ocean, you won't be doing much of an activity, so you won't be eating much. So 1 year supply would last you almost over a year. Come on, you don't kill your dog for that.
You guys are missing what I'm saying. I get there's a year of food. That's great. It's wonderful. What I'm freaking saying is that you could be gone for 15 years stranded. You have to make the food last. So if you haven't been rescued and you're approaching the year mark when you only have a year's worth of food, you have to let the dogs die because you need the food for yourself. I'm so annoyed.
Hater alert. We've got a hater on the line.
Yeah, okay, let's go to Cody on line three. Cody, what did you want to say?
Okay, first, Alex, it's okay. I understand what you're saying.
Thank you.
It's just, you said after like a week, not like a month. You didn't even give the dogs a month.
No, I'm saying like 6 months in, if you only have half a year's worth of food left, then you have to start thinking about what you're going to do.
Yeah, but if they brought a year worth of food for themselves, I'm pretty sure they bought, you know, dog food as well.
Well, the article says they had a year's supply of food. That is it, point blank. So whether it's dog food or human food, the human might have to eat the dog food to survive. You're not going to say, well, it's only dog food that I have left. I guess I'm going to die and let the dog survive. Like, you're going to eat that too.
If they're going to ration, I'm pretty sure they rationed their food and gave the dog their dog food. I'm pretty sure they did that.
Well, they did, and that's why all four of them lived, but they were rescued within a year. If they wouldn't have been rescued within a year, then those dogs were probably going to have to pass away so that they could survive.
I get your point.
I can't.
Thank you for calling in this morning. Let's talk to Sheena on the Joe and Alex show. What would you do?
I would definitely not eat the dog.
All right, I think Alex agrees with you. Alex is saying do not eat the dog. Just throw it over and
well,
let
Jaws
get it.
Well, you can. What are you going to do? Eat it raw? That's disgusting. You can't. You have no fire to cook it.
If you think about it, like, if you look it up, when animals die, like, let's say you have a cat. You're a cat lady, and your cat dies. Eventually, that cat's going to eat that dead body if you die in the house. If you die in your house, your dog, most dogs are loyal to their owner, and that it's proven for a fact that dogs are not going to eat their owner's dead body.
Yeah.
You should show the same respect to your animal.
Well, yeah. Of course. Shell says, at Joe and Alex Show, Alex, keep the dogs and just have Joe sushi. LOL, just joking. I know you're saying not to eat the dogs. Hashtag survival. And Amkey says, I completely understand what Alex is saying. She makes a good point. I just don't think I could bring myself to not share, even if it meant I might die. So that's the stuff that I just cannot relate to. You're going to let yourself die so that your dog survives? A dog that doesn't even have a soul? Like, a human being has to come for some of these crazy pet people.
Oh my gosh, you are, you know what?
Dogs don't animals. Listen,
no wonder the Humane Society never asked us to MC any events.
All dogs go to heaven. So.
Hell yeah,
that's
they do.
Not true.
Yeah, oh yes, they. You watch your devil mouth.
Listen. I'm just saying from the Bible, like from a biblical standpoint, the Bible says animals don't have souls, they don't go to heaven. It's not mean. I'm not saying you shouldn't cherish a pet's life. This is a whole other debate.
I saw the movie. All dogs go to heaven. Don't bring that false prophecy up in there.
It's not false.
To the pits of hell! I send you!
Okay.
How often do we bring up biblical references here?
Liv the Web Girl has something to say about this.
I just want to say that Pope Francis did recently confirm that dogs do go to heaven.
Oh! The Pope!
Confirmed.
Okay, that's Catholicism. I'm talking about Christianity.
How did he confirm it?
The
Pope talks to Jesus and God.
Okay.
Well, then he would forgive you for eating the dog.
I'm just saying that sometimes in those situations, horrible things happen. You got to do what you got to do to survive. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying be mean animals, kill animals just because you want. Like, people twist things. You guys are making this out to be like I'm a horrible person.
Right.
Not.
Right. Okay. Cool. I mean, never to ask Alex to watch my dogs.